shoulder at a plump man in an apron, basting a platter of buns with bright red jam. When they finally arrived at Dunn's Green, the Igibby children sat on the lawn and watched the festivities all morning and into the hot afternoon. When the sun slipped westward and the shadows began to lengthen, the people chattered more and more. At dusk the sea dragons would come, and the people would perch on the cliffs to watch them dance by the light of the moon. Janna could feel the anticipation in the air. To his delight, Tink had spotted a merchant selling blueberry gooey balls just behind them. He had spent the few coins Nia had given him, so Janna had begrudgingly shared some of his own, just to quiet Tink's stomach and his mouth. Tink had no idea that his face was now smeared with dark purple. Lily was content to passively watch the games while she tickled Nugget's belly or threw a stick for him to fetch. The onlookers had tolerated this until she'd accidentally thrown the stick onto the playing field. When Nugget chased it, one of the handyball players, who was rolling awkwardly across the field, careful not to let his feet touch the grass, missed a pass from another player because Nugget got in the way. All eyes had turned angrily toward Lily, whose cheeks burned as red as Tink's were purple. But when the onlookers saw Lily's crutch, they softened their glares and the game continued. Janna was glad that Lily was too busy scolding Nugget to notice the crowd's pity, or she would have been even more upset. Janna was as excited about all the unfamiliar faces around him as he was about the games. He wondered where all these people had come from, though the attire gave some folks away. The Torborough citizens, for example, all dressed alike. The men wore little black hats, coats with long tails, in spite of the summer heat, and pants pulled up to a shocking height. The buckles of their belts sat just a little below their chins. The fashionable women wore frilly dresses with patterns that depicted the noses of various animals. Their black shoes were pointy and oversized, as if their toes were as long as feet themselves, which made the women lurch forward when they walked. To Janna, it was like watching circus clowns, which he'd only read about, desperately trying not to be funny. Most of them wore white gloves, so when a handyball player scored a goal, the sound of their applause was more like thopping than clapping. And they say things like, "Good show," or "Holo, mummy cracker whip," or "Boozy," or "Indubitably fine shot." The long-haired folk from Dugtown weren't so odd in their dress, but their manner was shocking. Men and women alike were loud, and their laughter sounded more like howling. Janna could tell that certain words they used were unacceptable to the Torborough folk standing nearby, but the Dugtowners were oblivious. They growled and guzzled and made such a jolly racket that it was hard not to like them in spite of themselves. Each stranger in Glipwood that day was a reminder to Janna that he had never, never left the town. They lit up his imagination and filled him with an ache to see the world. But then...